Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss, the new podcast show from GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm James.
And together we're arguing the toss about...
the things that really matter in games.
Yay! This is episode one. And the first order on the agenda comes from very high up. It's our overlord, John Breeden, otherwise known as editor of GameIndustry.com. And he wants us to explain what Argue the Toss actually means. So, James. Yeah,
and Argue the Toss means basically talking about something that's fairly inconsequential, but in quite a lot of depth, because gamers are brilliant at doing that. And we have stolen this title from Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie, who had a sketch show in the 80s with two critics talking about such a thing with that name, but we decided to apply it to the gaming world.
Exactly. I will give you a link to that at the underneath this bit where you're listening. So our first episode is going to be favourite gaming worlds that we'd like to live in. So do you want to start with your...
Yep.
What you're going to toss into the circle, if you will.
Yeah, my contribution to the toss is going to be... I mean, it's one of those worlds that everyone kind of talks about, and it kind of makes perfect sense. But, you know, if I had to live in any world, it would have to be the Pokemon world. Now, aside from all the stuff about the monsters, it's kind of that thing where...
Well, I don't know. I've never played Pokemon. I've never watched Pokemon, so I don't know what the Pokemon world is
okay,
like.
Okay, for you and the other four people, basically...
there are more of us than that.
Okay,
we've
six.
Got clubs and
okay,
stuff.
Okay, yeah. But for anyone who doesn't know what Pokemon is, for some bizarre reason, it's basically where you catch lots of superpowered monsters that all have different abilities, a bit like an RPG, really. And then you get a party of monsters and fight them with each other. But the funny thing is, with living in the Pokemon world, it would actually be really cool because technically, already there's a national healthcare system already in check, because if you faint, because no one ever dies in the Pokemon universe, which is also another brilliant thing, you don't ever die, and you don't age. Everyone stays exactly the same age, regardless of whatever, but when you faint, you magically wake up in the Pokemon Center, so there's a health system where if anyone ever faints, you get taken straight to a hospital without having to do anything.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, and huge, you know, criminal syndicates, they'll go away if you beat them in a Pokemon battle. So literally, any kind of trouble can be resolved with a Pokemon battle, and everyone's very polite about it.
Where nobody dies.
Yeah, no one dies. You know, it's like...
sounds like Utopia.
Yeah, especially like in the early games, like Team Rocket, it's like Giovanni. He's like, yeah, I'm this big, you know, badass criminal, and, you know, but, oh, you beat me in a Pokemon battle, so I'm going to go...
I'm like backing right
So
on.
I'm going to go away now. And also, like, you know, there's the whole thing about, and it's similar in a lot of RPGs, but, you know, in other games as well, is that, you know, you can go into anyone's house, no one locks their doors, and everyone's really pleased to see you. And it'd just be yeah. like, I'd love to do that. And then, obviously, there's the whole stuff about monsters and all that kind of thing as well. I mean, if I was, I'd probably catch a Pidgey, train up into a Pidgeot, wouldn't ever need to use public transport again. I could just fly everywhere, and it'd be bloody marvellous.
Excellent. Well, that leads me right into one of mine, which is Animal Crossing.
Ah, right.
So it's just like a happy land of anthropomorphic animals. And like you say, everybody's always pleased to see you. The worst thing that happens in Animal Crossing is moles.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Where you have to like pat the... there's just lumps in your lawn. That is a bad day in Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's brilliant. And... you understand everyone's language, even though you don't know what they're saying, because they all just go flibble and stuff. Yeah, exactly. It's like Pingu.
It is. That
Pingu
where they got it from Pingu.
And, yeah, you just, like, make dresses for your friends and stuff, and everyone wears smocks. What's not to love about that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I like...
you can do a spot of archaeology without even going to university.
Well, that is the thing. You can randomly dig up fossils.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And there's new fossils every day.
Yeah, and they go into the museum, and yeah, it's excellent. They have little festivals. You can go fishing. I did so much fishing in Animal Crossing. It was untrue.
Is there a version of Animal Crossing you'd most like to go into? Like, which version of it?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, now you've stumped me.
I probably
spent the most time in the first one.
Yeah, the GameCube
one. GameCube one.
Yeah. Which was on the N64 in Japan, but...
Okay.
It was originally called Animal Forest, but they may just wait.
Like they always do.
Those pesky Nintendo fellows.
Yes. So, what is your next... what's your other...
Yeah, I mean...
Favourite world?
It's kind of weird, because you could also ask the question, okay, which time would you travel back to? But... And also, there's a lot of people I know who would say the same as well. And that's actually Shenmue for the Dreamcast. And for those who don't know, Shenmue was an adventure game that encompassed lots of different elements of general exploration, like in a 3D environment, kind of open world stuff. And this,
it was pretty much the first open world, wasn't it?
It was the first one that was like that turned a lot of heads. Critically, it did really well. I mean, it didn't do that well commercially because it was tied to the Dreamcast, and we know that story. It was in 1999, so it was really quite... It was a couple of years before that whole thing really kicked off. And it's kind of set in 80s Japan in Yokosuka, the Yokosuka area. And so, you know, you've kind of got this really cool kind of almost like time capsule of 80s Japan, where you've got like the Western influence and like the arcade boom coming up, and you know you are on a quest to seek vengeance for your father who's killed at the start of the game, and you do get into like one-on-one fights, like kind of Virtua Fighter style. You can level up moves by training, you can do jobs, you can just go to the arcade and play like Space Harrier or stuff like that. And but I think it's just like being able to go back into that time and also that, you know, that location as well, and enjoy a more rural kind of lifestyle, like before everything became ridiculously complicated. You know, I mean, I wouldn't like my father being killed. That'd be a downside. But, you know, that'd be a minor downside.
But I suppose you don't have to have the storyline.
No, I won't be. I won't literally be Ryo Hazuki.
Also,
he's not very good with women either. He's very oblivious to any romantic, entanglements that come his way, which he usually responds to most things with "I see." But you know, in terms of a really, you know, an intriguing world, it would just it's a really nice place, and
Cool. Well, I've taken us to Japan as well. It seems as if we've had a conflab on this, but we totally haven't, dear listeners. We didn't tell each other what we were going to do at all until just before we started recording.
Games in Japan, has the world gone mad?
I know. So mine is Jet Grind Radio or Jet Set Radio, depending on where you're from. And it's because it's Japan and you get to skate around every slopey surface in sort of cartoon Japan land, and you have sort of Keystone style cops chasing after you, and nothing really happens to you once you get caught, so that's kind of cool. And it's just awesome. It's just one of my favorite games ever. What a great way to visit a city.
That could have been just the location, like cartoon Japan land.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, there's the detective, I forget his name now, there's the main detective who's after you, he's really pissed off at you for, like, some reason, like, just because you do graffiti. Like, that's, and then he shoots you, though, and you just get up from it. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And you just leave sort of, like, sparks behind you, and it just seems, like, quite a good world to be, like, a teenage urbanite.
when I was playing it, I remember, because it was original on the Dreamcast as well, and it was like, I remember one time where I hopped over a ramp, there was a helicopter about to fire at me, I jumped over it, spray painted a graffiti tag on its window, and then jumped over it and it crashed. I was just like, this is the best, most awesome thing ever. Jet Set Radio, that's a great one, because they call it Jet Grind Radio in America, don't they? Or
I'm not sure. I can't remember which way round it was either. So, those are my main worlds that I think I'd like to live in games.
Yeah.
There's no monsters. We've got healthcare. Everyone's pleased to see us. Maybe the police get a bit miffed now and then, but nothing too bad.
Yeah, they're not like real life, but they're a bit nastier. So.
No,
exactly. Or can be a bit nastier. I would like that.
Should we say? Yeah.
Because I know some nice policemen. So,
yeah.
So sorry, chaps. But yeah, that's a small dose.
Yeah, we've covered that.
That's a small dose of gaming worlds that we like to live in. So, you know.
What are yours? Yep, let us know.
And if you've thought of anything that we haven't thought of. And about our own worlds. And so I think that pretty much covers it. This is a small slice of arguing the toss. We have been your tossers this week. And we shall see you again for a bit more arguing.